Today is Tuesday, January 16.
This is the shitholiest tech news podcast that there is.
And to prove that, none of us are wearing shoes today.
But you can't see that.
That's true. We'll never know.
I can't.
The floors are being repolished. You're kicking the bottom of the desk.
I can't pull my foot up to the...
It's very cold in here, too. But the floors outside are being refinished, so to avoid getting our nasty footprints all over them.
Not really refinished, just deep cleaned.
Deep cleaned. It smells strongly of linseed oil on the set today.
Refinishing would be more elaborate, so I don't know. Well, CES is over. And the
speaking of shitholes,
literally, according to some tweets we read.
Oh, and it's CES, but even the CES news is not overshadowed by the whole Spectre Meltdown thing. And I don't know about you guys, but I haven't slept trying to get Spectre Meltdown patched everywhere. And then Intel's played this fun little game with me where the patch has apparently been half-assed, and we're going to talk more about that. Make me real, real upset if I weren't so sleep deprived. But Intel and Broadwell CPUs are experiencing reboots after the firmware update. So yeah, it's like, oh, we fixed this. We tested it for 20 minutes. We gave it to the intern named Randy. And I'll let you guys in on a secret. That Randy guy might have gone to high school with him. Might have been huffing paint behind the community pool.
His name's not even Randy. Like, they don't even know his name. They're just like, can you just make a patch for this real quick?
I don't think anybody should be surprised that this was half-assed because...
They had 6 months. Intel's known about it for six months.
But they didn't start working on it until
They had stuff
week.
To sell for Christmas season, man.
So they're like, well, okay, we could fix this catastrophic bug.
Or work on our CES keynote.
We could rush out that new line of chips to compete with AMD because they're kind of getting scary.
Oh my gosh. It's even causing issues with Ubuntu. So we've got a whole bunch of articles that are just follow-ups and things like that with this. And there's been another unrelated security issue found in the Intel Active Management Engine. Do you rely on something like, I don't know, BitLocker or some other full disk encryption? Well, guess what? The flaw in the Active Management thing means that your keys can be extracted from memory or your keyboard can be snooped on even before you boot over the network.
Now, they did blame this one on the motherboard manufacturers because it's like it's an EFI thing. And they did make the password default admin, and it's set. You don't have to turn it on. It's on, and the password is admin when you get the board. So
it's a little bit like in the Intel reference documentation. They're like, here, just implement this, and you'll be fine. The password's admin. And then Intel's like, well, we didn't mean for you to do it exactly the way that it was in the documentation.
We so didn't mention that in the documentation.
But they're passing the buck on that one. They're like, oh, this was not on us, guys. It's your motherboard manufacturer. So you might want to check out and see if that's on your board.
The good news is that most home-built systems do not have this feature because Intel actually charges more in the licensing side. But the bad news is if you have like HP or Dell or anything that has like Intel vPro, chances are you're affected by this on one level or another. So if you're inside a Fortune 500, you got problems.
If you dumpster dove and plucked a sweet deal, then you got to worry about it.
I got my Haswell system out of a dumpster and now the Chinese are mining Bitcoin. I don't understand. So yeah, things are not good in Intel's world. Now, there have been a lot of conflicting reports about AMD. So AMD is releasing Spectre firmware updates to fix CPU vulnerabilities. And it's funny, because if you read the articles from like the investment banks and the people that, you know, are normally touting Intel stock and great ROI, they're like, look, every company was affected by this equally, and it's a really bad situation. And yes, AMD does have updates, but everything that we know from a computer science standpoint, AMD is dramatically way less affected than Intel. It's not an apples-to-apples comparison.
I think they had to, for perception reasons, release something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, even they could come out and be like, listen, statistically, you're going to win the lottery and get hit by lightning at the same time. But if they were seen to do nothing, then people would be like, they didn't even try.
They didn't even patch anything that had anything to do with this.
They're not on top of this. So there have been a lot of comments. You know, it was one of the things that dominated the conversation at CES. And in all of the coverage from CES that I saw, Intel was sort of changing the story and changing the narrative. And they wanted to talk about other things. They really didn't address Spectre and Meltdown very much at all. Meanwhile, Lisa Su, you know, she's got a number of wonderful public comments that are like, AMD's on top of security. We're taking this very seriously. We're looking into this vulnerability more. We want to understand more about how it works. And so it's been a really interesting contrast in terms of how the two companies have handled things.
Well, it's easy to take the high road when you're not covered in shit, as yeah. we might say, to keep the CES joke going.
Well, they're only one, you know, public exploit away from, you know, I think that somebody probably could come up with some type of exploit that shows that AMD CPUs are vulnerable, but from what we've been able to tell, they're much less vulnerable.
Well, you also have to take into account that, 80-90% market share that Intel has? Yeah. It just makes more sense to go after them. That's the problem with being on top of the mountain.
Remember when there was a lot of really cheap Xeon E5, like 2600 series CPUs because of that virtualization bug? I mean, those CPUs went from like $400 used on eBay to like $25 used on eBay because every company unloaded them at once because Intel was not going to fix the flaws in those CPUs unless the CPU was under warranty. Well, now it's going to be like that again, except eBay is going to be flooded with the V2, V3, and maybe V4 CPUs that are out of warranty, the, you know, Broadwell and everything else. So look for server CPUs to get insanely cheap on eBay the next couple of months. It's going to be real interesting. Another thing to look out for is people have been downloading fake Spectre and Meltdown patches, which contain malware. So, yeah, the malware authors are on top of this. This is not actually exploit Spectre or Meltdown. This is literally just saying, hey, you want to get patched up against that? Download this. And then it immediately connects to somewhere in Russia and does all sorts of terrible things to your machine.
So you're saying that this malware is on top of it more so than Intel. That's what you're saying.
They beat them to the punch. This was in Germany, and they threw up a domain name that sounds like a government domain name, but it's not, right? It's like one character off or something.
.dugb.
They even got SSL. It looks legit.
And yeah, so they will serve you this horrible malware. It's one of those malwares that just, it's like the payload itself is not even in the malware. It connects to another server and downloads everything, that like keyloggers, everything.
If user equals gullible, download everything equal true. I don't know. It's crazy. Also, it came out this week that more than just Intel and AMD and ARM CPUs are vulnerable. Spark CPUs are vulnerable, but also graphics cards. NVIDIA has issued some driver updates to help address CPU memory security because NVIDIA GPUs do speculative execution.
They don't. No.
What?
It's just the driver. They only patch the driver. GPUs don't speculate.
Wendell being wrong about hardware?
AMD doesn't.
Unheard of.
Doesn't speculate. I read an article that said that NVIDIA was doing something with speculative execution.
Scroll to the bottom. The original article suggested the GPU themselves were at risk, which is not correct. NVIDIA is
just the driver. No, oh my God. Okay,
why do they have the highlight color set to purple? Asking the real questions here. That's something you have to do. Like, you have to specifically define that.
And Gadget, is one of their colors purple?
I don't think so. It's always black and white.
It's the royal color.
Huh. So this was not actually speculative execution on the CPU.
It was either the driver or the bloatware used it, I think.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay, well, let's just do that one over.
We should leave that in, like, just like that.
Okay, well, whatever. That's fine.
You want to leave that in?
Why not?
All right.
Make it more conversational. We get things wrong occasionally. We corrected ourselves.
We really do. Well, that would have been a correction for next week because they're like, yeah. Oh, my God. But the thing that I read said that totally in some scientific workloads that there's stuff. And I was like, wow, NVIDIA is doing speculative execution on the GPU? Okay. I didn't look into it further. But I knew that AMD is not. AMD has come out and said, we don't do speculative execution on the GPU at all. And that also made me wonder what the difference is between NVIDIA and AMD that they're doing that. But if it's just on the driver side, then that's kind of weird. That the operating system patch wouldn't take care of that.
Well, it might be another situation where it's like, some people are speculating this. Let's just get something out there. Just announce something.
We need to run a story about this today. It's been 3 hours.
Switching gears a little bit, we've got a new instance of studios suing people. This time it's not a Kodi box, it is a Dragon box.
Well, but it is Run Kodi.
Yeah.
The other one was called something else. There's been three so far, I think.
Yeah.
And it's the same cartel of media providers who are going after this thing.
Now, it seems to me from reading the article that the reason that they're attacking this is because their website said you could get free TV and movies on their website.
Well, they said specifically
for free,
cut the cord or get rid of Amazon Prime and Netflix. And they mentioned a bunch of them by name.
Hulu.
And those are the people who are coming after them.
So is it that the website was implying that they could get those for free pirated? Or is it that they were saying there's lots of free content on the internet? And that's...
Yeah.
It's the implication.
Yeah.
Just like Dennis.
I don't think they actually give you those exact services, of course. But they do give you pirate versions of... They mentioned Coco, which is a brand new movie.
You can find it using this device.
But yeah, you can watch a decent version of it on this device right now. And they don't advertise that specifically, but
it's the implication.
yeah. So I don't know. Apparently, their website has been updated to clarify that, but I don't know if that's going to be enough to satisfy the studios.
Oh,
no,
that way.
No, they're out for blood.
So let me just go ahead and make a prediction, and we'll probably come back to this a year or two from now. But studios, like, as soon as all of these are, you know, super legit, and they only advertise that you can get, you know, free legit things that are meant to be free, the studios are going to come back and say, well, that's not enough. We need you to run an application that is continuously content IDing everything that passes through the device so that we can make sure that our rights are being asserted.
Yeah, and you can't DMCA if the makers of the thing are like, listen, we don't even, this is not our content. This is simply a box that gets content. So they're never going to be satisfied with that. And they're probably going to get their way, as obvious as it is that that's what this box was made for, I still think we're better off not letting them get that control.
Yeah, I think so too. The wording here is what will be used to hang them, because the intent of the Dragon Box people has to be to just provide a device to get at legit things. The intent cannot be to build a device to get things that are illegit, because that will hang you in a court of law. So, Uber's secret tool for keeping cops in the dark. So this is a really interesting story. You know how we're always talking about Uber dodging the bullet? Oh, I love that GIF. That's amazing.
It's a really good illustration.
You know how we're talking about Uber always dodging the bullet as far as law enforcement goes? And they may have had programs to track, like, the codes enforcement people and showing them, like, fake cars. Well,
they
proved
that. That was the gray ball.
Yeah, the gray. So it turns out that Uber has a button that you can push, or a number that you can call. And
it's text message.
If you call the number or text message the number or whatever, it locks down all of the computers in the office being raided by law enforcement.
So they got raided once, and they were like, never again. And they built full disk encryption on everything in the office. And they actually had, I think it was 3-minute timeouts. Can you imagine how annoying that is? Having to log back in every 3 minutes. But if they came banging on the door, warrant or not, somebody texted at first it was the IT team, then the security team took over the bat number, the bat phone. And they would lock everything in the office with full disk encryption, so the authorities couldn't find out what was going on.
Neat.
Who was in charge of that?
Good worker,
that
I guess.
That poor sucker.
I mean, they solved a problem with technology. You can't take that away from them.
That is another thing that is probably going to hang Uber in a court of law, because it's like, why do you need that? I mean, most businesses, yes, businesses need full disk encryption, and yes, businesses need passwords on their stuff, but this seems a little beyond.
Shut down button?
Yeah. like shut it down. Just.
Yeah. Well, in some cases, they did admit that there was like what they called fishing expeditions by law enforcement. Like, they didn't have the warrants for everything. But they would just come and be like,
and let us
look at your computer. And other situations, they were like, okay, their defense is, we shut it down because we can't trust law enforcement. They'll step all over you. But when they came to us with specific warrants, because in a warrant, you have to list out exactly what you're going to search.
What you're looking for, yeah.
They're like, we would give them each item that they wanted. But of course, authorities are not satisfied with that answer.
Speaking of things that are unsatisfactory, I don't know. I was going to shoehorn that in somewhere. This is kind of a follow-up, but there's kind of new information. So if you're not hip to this, James Damore, I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name.
Pretty sure Damore. Yeah.
When the moon hits your eye a big piece of pie.
That's Damore.
Okay, well, he's suing Google for discriminating against conservative white men. He's the guy that wrote the article.
It was
an internal memo.
At the risk of oversimplifying, it was we are overcompensating for the whole like social justice warrior gender equality thing, and that needs to stop.
The damning thing he said, and I'm paraphrasing, was like, maybe there is a genetic difference between ability in software engineering or something like that. Yeah.
And I read the memo. I didn't think it was that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
I mean, it was maybe a little bit condescending, but not... I wouldn't have been super offended by that if someone wrote that.
It was presented as an opinion, and they supposedly have this great policy where you can have open discussion about this kind of thing. Now, I watched this guy. He did interviews. One of the interviews he did was with the Canadian guy that everybody calls the white supremacist. Oh, what is his name? Peterson, Jordan Peterson. And this guy has...
What could possibly go wrong?
This guy has zero personality. I mean, he's basically a robot. You can see why people at Google didn't like him, and he was, you know, he's probably pretty smart for that reason. But, yeah.
So what you're saying is we need to invite him to co-anchor the Level 1
news. He might be worse than us. No, I'm saying...
Less emotion.
I can totally see how he didn't understand that memo was going to have the impact that it did. Like, he didn't grasp. He really was just saying what he thought was true.
Yeah.
It's a developing story. It's going to be interesting to see how this lawsuit plays out.
This is really going to piss people off. I mean, it's going to be crazy, the backlash from this.
You know what's probably not going to generate any backlash whatsoever? The fact that Julian Assange is now a citizen of Ecuador?
But yeah. he can't get there, so who cares?
He's still trapped in the embassy 7 years later.
I don't think he can get to an airport, so it's really just not... The UK government came out and they were like, no, really, he's going to jail. It's just a matter of time, so none of this matters.
Switching gears a little bit, the FCC, you know, Ajit Pai canceled his appearance at CES this week because, I don't know...
He didn't want to get thrown off stage by a bunch of angry nerds.
So the FCC is thinking about... They're contemplating a rule change which would redefine broadband as what, 5 megabit?
This is
the mobile one. There's a couple of rule changes that are coming. One of them is redefining what access to broadband is, and so it would be like, oh, you have access to a cellular network? That counts as broadband. Counts,
yeah. No, this one is it's the spectrum. So you get the 5 gigahertz spectrum for rural broadband right now, and the 3.5. So a low-end license can get 3.5 spectrum, which 5 won't go through trees.
Yeah.
3.5 will.
5 is also unlicensed.
That's the big difference.
So anybody could do anything in 5 gigahertz.
3.5 right now, small ISPs can get it. Ajit wants to make it so that only the highest class FCC license can get 3.5.
That sounds like something he would do.
Yeah, so that means AT&T, Verizon, Comcast, those are the only people who can afford... Those licenses are insanely expensive. Do you know what they cost?
In the millions of dollars.
I didn't look.
So a small ISP couldn't play ball there. And so I think what's happened here is the big ISPs have gone to Ajit with their duffel bags of money, and they're like, hey, we kind of need this for 5G, make it happen. And so here we are.
Yeah, this is not good. Didn't the FCC say that they wanted rural competition and that they wanted more companies?
Yeah, that was all about...
Well, they said that because that looks good for the PR.
That's the whole net neutrality argument, right? It's about free market competition. But how is it free market? Because the big boys could get these licenses. I'm sure that the titles or the class of the license is retroactive, right?
Yeah.
Like if you have the best one, you can get this one. But they just don't want to compete.
It's kind of funny. I actually know some people that did the whole rural wireless ISP. And in the beginning, when 802.11b was a new thing, you could do a 2.4 gigahertz as a backhaul. You could have a tower set up that would serve 3 or 4 or 5 houses. And 2.4 gigahertz was fine. But then as, you know, everybody under the sun started using 2.4 gigahertz, they had to switch to a 5 gigahertz backhaul, even with directional antennas. And that worked great until the proliferation of 5 gigahertz, because that's also unlicensed spectrum. And now everything under the sun is also on 5 gigahertz. There's too much interference, and they need more bandwidth. And so 5 gigahertz doesn't cut it anymore there either. And so having a somewhat licensed spectrum or quasi-licensed spectrum would be a much better situation, because then you could kind of control it in an area, but make it easy. You know, it's easy, short range. You have a signal that's going to go for a few miles, but not 20 or 30, because you don't need that for ISP, except maybe for backhaul.
So this goes right into the thing you were talking about, which is the 10 down, 1 up.
Yes.
broadband restriction, but wireless counts if Ajit gets his way. So wireless counts now, and we're going to give you this whole spectrum to use for your 5G, and that's, you know, more duffel bags full of money.
And the fact that wireless counts, even if you have severe caps, is also really troubling. So not only are you up against a wall in terms of bandwidth and number of customers per tower, but, you know, a 1 gigabyte, 2 gigabyte, 5 gigabyte per month is not uncommon in the U.S. for mobile data plans. And, man, I use more than a gigabyte a day just reading email, which seems nuts because it should be textual, but those protocols are not, they're not
except
made.
When people have giant images in their signature. Yeah. And
let me paste a bitmap screenshot.
Yeah.
Enjoy your 30 meg screenshot.
So, yeah, what people are doing, which, see, these kind of protests, I always feel like they're kind of limp. I don't know. This is not the way to fight back. I'm not sure what is. But people are saying, hey, do the mobile-only challenge, which is where you go 24 hours without touching anything but mobile broadband.
Just, that seems
what
like...
What does that tell anybody except just torturing yourself for no reason?
Well, if the people in the FCC were actually, one, concerned with the public good,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Two, didn't actually know their butt from a hole in the ground, then something like that would be like, oh, man, I accidentally made it terrible. I had no idea.
All right.
The problem is that the aforementioned Randy that I was talking about, the one that was huffing paint out behind the community pool.
For the Intel patch.
Yeah, for the Intel patch. See, the situation is that guy is basically the guy that they found to... you know, come out in opposition. It's very frustrating because it's like we know technology and we know some people that have worked in the industry and we know what's going on here. And so nobody in their right mind that understands this kind of stuff will stand up and say, oh yeah, this will totally work fine. This is good for business or this is good for Americans or this is good for this, the world citizen in general. Because, I mean, in Australia, it's already really, really terrible in Australia. So they got Randy as their spokesperson because Randy has no idea how any of this works. And they're just like, yeah, Randy, why don't you, you know, good job, Randy. And so Randy's real excited about not huffing
Randy
paint.
Randy just takes his duffel bag of money and he goes and buys gold spray paint.
They don't give
best.
Randy a duffel bag. They just give him crack directly. So I think you're overplaying that. I don't think people have to be in the industry. I think everybody most people
understand.
The vast majority understands what's going on here. It just doesn't matter because we don't have a voice when it comes to the FCC.
Have you experienced the shittiness of mobile data on a cell phone?
I mean, who hasn't? Because everybody, look at the user reviews of Comcast. Everybody understands that Comcast is evil and horrible and they hate them and there's no alternative. But what can you do?
I love it when people from my hometown moved to like a bigger city and they're like, the internet will be better here. And then they're like, oh no, it's the same. It's the same as the shitty little place that I live in.
You really like medium-sized towns, I think, are the sweet spot because that's where you get, you know, that sort of mid-range ISP. Maybe the big boys are like, we don't need to go there yet. And you actually get some decent service.
That is kind of, it's funny that you said that because that is basically how it has worked out.
Yeah.
The middle-sized towns do actually have better data. It's just, it's mind-blowing.
Until they get bigger because they have better data.
That's why you have to fight the success of your town. You have to keep it at a certain level.
The FCC is planning to switch broadband standards with the mobile-only challenge. This is what you're talking about with the mobile-only challenge, but this is redefining the other thing that we were mentioning before. Which is crazy because it's 25 meg and 3 meg, I think, is the current standard, but imminently it's going to be 10 meg and 1 meg, which is just really dumb.
And mobile counts.
And mobile counts.
Mobile counts, yeah.
Just, I can't.
I think we should do a 24-hour live stream, which I guess in itself would be violating the. But you have to do the mobile only challenge.
There goes your bandwidth cap. Oh, I would be slitting my wrists in like an hour too.
You wouldn't be able to do it.
It would be bad. It would be really
bad.
Your
internet's that bad, too, though. Like, it's just better to just get off the internet. I would just have to read a book or something.
Yeah, yeah. I would just be like, let's queue up some stuff, and I'll go do something else and come back and wait.
But you don't get access to any of your archives. You just get a clean install, and you have to deal with mobile
internet
for the entire day. No, it's mobile only. You get a hotspot.
It'd be 23 hours. It'd be just rocking back and forth in front of the computer.
Just read a book. Just read a book. Or sleep. Sleep through it in a deep depression.
Yeah, I do have sleep as a defense mechanism. If I get really bored, I will immediately go to sleep. So
it's a pretty normal human thing.
Really problematic at family gatherings because it seems to be an autonomic response. It's kind of a problem.
Wendell drove all this way and he just fell asleep as soon as he got here.
This is our second Apple Health story where the Apple Health data is being used in a rape and murder investigation. This is in Germany. I think we talked about this a little bit before with like Fitbit. The article mentions that.
Yeah.
But German authorities have cracked a man's iPhone that he would not provide a password for. And they're saying that his fitness data lines up with when he would have been disposing of a body.
So specifically, he murdered a woman.
I think it was allegedly.
As you do.
I think it was a rape and a murder. Well, it's looking real, real good that he did it. And so during the time, so they're very good with the whole CSI crap where they can time things. It's like, oh, the blood spatter was slightly circular. It was 9:43 p.m. And so they figured exactly the time when he would have been dragging the body down this embankment where they found, like, you know, marks. His iPhone felt that he was climbing stairs.
He was getting some physical activity.
Yeah, so they repeated it, you know, with another guy dragging a similar size weight down the same embankment. And the phone said climbing stairs. So they're going to use this in the case against him.
It's really neat. Now, how long until, like, I'm not saying, like, just, you know, a little bit of doubt here. Let's just, you know, a little bit of reasonable doubt. How long until you've got an unsolved murder and somebody is searching the iCloud database for somebody that happens to have been climbing stairs or happens to have been doing something at the time in question?
What if you dance by yourself a lot, you know, like in your house, and no one knows that you're secretly a dancer?
You better stream it on Twitch so you got that alibi.
It's true.
If you're thinking, man, I'm never going to use Apple Health, well, if you use an iPhone, it's on by default.
Yeah.
It doesn't sync to the cloud by default, but this guy didn't sync to the cloud. They got his phone and they cracked it, yeah.
It's a lot like that whole Apple's, yeah, we're going to record your location everywhere you go at all times in a text file. Remember that? Because that really happened.
And, of course, we've seen that from other apps that do this on purpose. I don't know if you'd be wearing your phone during this time, but if you are, it knows when you're having sex.
just from the noises around it, I guess.
You better stream that as well, just to make sure that you have an alibi.
It's against the terms.
Not in the IRL category.
Also this week, the House has passed the NSA spying bill. Initially, Trump seemed to tweet and say that this was used to spy against him, which may not have actually been untrue.
You get the feeling that... Here's what I think about Trump. Like, he's not quite as evil as he is just petulant.
Yeah, he's like a child.
Yeah, and so his first reaction was, we shouldn't do this. This could be used against me. And then someone tapped him on the shoulder, and they're like, sir, seriously, let's explain the situation to you. And he was like, all right, yeah, we'll do this. This is good.
Once again, it's almost like nobody really understands that these tools could be used against them.
Now, this is, of course, the same spot, the warrantless wiretapping outside of the country, which, of course, we know, if they really want to spy on you and you're in the country, they will simply route your data out of the country, which suddenly makes it okay. That seems weird, right?
Seems a little disingenuous to me.
But it was, I think, Obama stopped it for a little while, at least on paper. I think they were still doing it. But this brings it back, and actually, according to some people, I haven't read it, you know, it's legalese, but some people are claiming it expands it a little bit.
We have forgotten that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
So if you weren't still assuming that someone is always listening, go back to assuming that someone is always listening and watching.
You should just assume that anyway.
Yeah, and it's like you're dancing to the oldies with whatever that guy is.
Richard Simmons.
Richard Simmons.
I don't think Richard Simmons is dancing to the oldies anymore.
It's going to be used against you in a court of law because it thinks you're part of a murder cover-up.
How old is Richard Simmons?
I thought he passed away. Did he not?
Did he? I don't think
Maybe
he did.
Maybe he didn't.
There was a... He's not... Like, he's retired from public life for a lot of reasons, but...
So dead to us.
Yeah.
He'll always live in my heart.
Those tight little spandex shorts always living on.
We get together every Sunday morning, me and Richard, and it's like, and we sweat to the oldies, which are really old.
Yeah, it's the super oldies now.
Top U.S. government computers linked to a revenge porn site. So somebody that runs a revenge porn site was looking at the IP addresses of computers that use the website and what messages they've posted. Turns out a lot have come from Capitol Hill.
Yeah, so the office of the president, some of the security places, and I think the Senate was in there. And if you read, you should read this article because the language of the posts is insanely creepy. They refer to getting a revenge porn photo of someone as a win. So it's like post wins, which is... And they do requests.
The whole revenge porn thing, though. I mean, there's nothing that's not creepy about that already.
Yeah, that's true. And they'll post pictures of women and be like, hey, does anybody have any of her? Which is like, what are the odds? And you can do it by geography, too. So, like, if it's your hometown and there's a certain girl, there might be people out there who are trying to collect revenge porn images of a specific...
Well, Facebook will tag you for that, though.
Weren't they also... Well, only if you have that exact image.
Oh, that's true.
And I think there were people on there that were also asking for Photoshops.
X-rays.
Yeah. So, yeah. But the messages that have been posted from Capitol Hill are just super, super disturbing.
Who knew that? Not even the pictures. Politics attracts creeps.
They did. They sort of... There's a caveat that it's not just... Like, the office of the president is not just Donald Trump. So, I don't think Donald Trump is posting revenge porn.
He might be.
He could be.
I wouldn't put it past him, but I'm sure there's other people in the office doing it too.
I can't see. See, I can't see him being. It's an anonymous website. I think he would want credit.
He would just post it to Twitter.
He would be on just like, you know, look at this beauty I had last night.
And that would be saved to the Library of Congress.
At that public event where Melania was there, and he's like, I really wish Melania could have been here. It was a coded message having to do with this revenge porn site. It makes perfect sense now.
But they do, they make the point that, you know, the security teams and the janitors and whoever might be using these same networks.
The janitors.
So it's not necessarily the leaders, but I wouldn't put it past them.
Like the janitor in 30 Rock, and he has like the book of all the pretty women in the office. And he just like being called book in that series was being cool. Like, because you were in the janitor's book. You are not the book.
Janitors are, in my experience, janitors tend to be far more well-balanced than most of the other people.
They do. I think they got a bad hit because in a lot of 80s and 90s movies, they were the killer.
Or they were the hero in Weird Al's UHF, as it should be.
Wendell, well-versed in all Weird Al stories and songs.
Well, if you're in the U.S., good news. The Ninth Circuit reaffirmed a ruling that violating the terms of service on a website is not a crime. And the website in question this time was Oracle. So Oracle was saying this is criminal because someone has gone against their terms of service to download Java, was it?
It was documentation.
Documentation.
So it was a company that competes with Oracle to offer support. And part of that support is they have an automated system that goes and gets you the documents you need from Oracle. And Oracle doesn't like that. Now, they admitted it's okay for these people to use their website. It's a public website, and these people own Oracle software. They have to be able to get to the documentation. But they said they should be downloading manually, not in an automated fashion.
Now, the ruling here was actually really, really narrow, and the entire ruling seemed to hinge on whether or not it was authorized.
Yeah.
And so, because the people that were downloading the information were authorized to have the information, the vehicle for getting the information, the court thought, was irrelevant.
Now, in the case of a previous case where LinkedIn had a similar thing, LinkedIn told those people, do not use our website. And that is actually, that's still like, if you go to the grocery store and you're you know, really high shorts.
Shirtless and shoeless.
If they ask you to leave, you have to leave. It's trespassing. And that's kind of what's going on with websites. So you still can get blacklisted from website, but I think in this case it was such public information and there was no login to get to it, so they couldn't just say selectively, no, you can't have this information.
That does not mean that you are now permitted to troll websites with impunity, unfortunately.
Or wear your booty shorts to Walmart.
Have you heard of some software called SecureDrop? It's software that's used by journalists and a bunch of other people around the world for whistleblowing type activities. James Dolan, the co-creator of SecureDrop, is dead at 36. He was friends with Aaron Schwartz as well.
Well, they both worked on it. And
I missed the cause of death. What was
suicide.
It?
Suicide. And of course, a lot of people are going down the conspiracy rabbit hole here, because he did create something that was about whistleblowers.
Who was being investigated federally.
Swartz, if you don't know the Swartz story, it's pretty terrifying how the authorities, you could say they drove him to suicide, I think.
Yeah.
Without...
I think that would be a fair statement.
So we don't know if that was involved here, but it doesn't seem like this was a, shoot yourself in the back of the head suicide.
No, but there was a federal investigation, and we will definitely have a follow-up once there's more information on that federal investigation, because why would there be a federal investigation on somebody that writes, software for blowing the whistle?
It seems to be very bad for your health, we'll say that, to go into that business.
Or if you're an aspiring programmer working on something like this, just release it to the internet. Do what the Bitcoin guy did. Just release it to the internet and let them try to figure out who you are later. Because, yeah, that's just the only way to deal with that. The FBI chief, this is how not in the know we are. So, like, the whole Randy huffing paint thing behind the pool. Yeah, so it's like, this is, like, what do you call this? It's not, like, virtue signaling? We should come up with a name for this. Like,
urgent public safety issue for unbreakable encryption.
Idiocy signaling? Because the FBI chief is calling for unbreakable encryption. So this would be like... FBI chief calling for an abolition of all locks on doors because locks on doors slow down law enforcement.
It's funny how...
slows down the thief who's trying to break into your house.
He made this speech and he made all these points. It was like, we have all these cases and the only thing stopping us from solving these cases is this encryption. I was like, well, what did you do 25 years ago? How did you solve those cases?
They just didn't.
Maybe just go back to that. Huh?
I can't, as people, with time moving on, technology is going to become more inseparable from, like, the inside of your own mind. And with a very, very personal device like an iPhone, even just like the Fifth Amendment, I don't see the law enforcement need to force decryption in those scenarios. Even if there were some way to have encryption and... have a legit law enforcement way for, a warrant to be executed on that. I just don't see how that would be reasonable. Never mind that there's no technological way to actually do this. I mean, it's like all these computer scientists and PhDs say that there's not a way to have your cake and eat it too in this situation. But we've got Randy who says that, yeah, we probably can. So let's prop up Randy.
But why does Randy have silver paint around his mouth and nose?
Where's his PhD from again?
Why?
It's University of Phoenix.
Sorry to our audience members who are Phoenixes.
Already if you went to the University of Phoenix. Now let's go back and remember that your iPhone it has your heartbeat. It's recording your heartbeat at this point.
Yes.
That's how insane it's become. And they want the ability to get that anytime that they want without any sort of judicial oversight. And they're chastising us for not giving them that. That's the crazy thing.
It's a public safety alert.
How dare you hide your heartbeat records from me?
An imminent public safety issue. Yeah, that's just... How can people be so ignorant? I just don't...
That guy's not ignorant.
Is he doing the more insidious thing where he's not that ignorant and he's absolutely manipulating the public?
You don't get to that level of the FBI by being stupid. You get there by being evil. And there's no way he believes what he's saying.
The proud tradition begun by Hoover.
Yeah.
It's like the evilest guy in the room.
I don't believe that you actually believed he was good at heart and just dumb.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, Wendell.
I'm just saying some parallel universe, maybe somebody would be that naive.
I don't think so.
I guess not. So Apple is being investigated by France for planned obsolescence. This is the whole... this is kind of a follow-up, but there's kind of new information. So if you're in the dark... Apple phones slow down over time. This is built into the software updates. And actually, there was a researcher who said that the Spectre and Meltdown fixes slowed down his phone dramatically. And that's not... The update that contained the Spectre and Meltdown fixes did slow his phone down dramatically, but it's because his battery was old.
Yeah, so what Apple has said to sort of temper this is like, no, we're not just slowing your device down. It's that as your battery gets older, it can't pull the power that it needs to perform as well as it did. So it slows itself down rather than shutting down.
Yeah.
But France are not fans of this argument.
It's planned obsolescence. So Apple's going to try to skirt this with the whole free battery thing. But if you've got an iPhone 6 and you want the free battery,
it's $29.
No, they made it completely free.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. So,
but you got to be without your phone for how many weeks?
I think you just go into the Genius Bar and they just do it.
Oh, okay. So you have to have... Well, what if you don't have...
If you don't have an Apple store, then you're just screwed. Yeah. You got to mail it in and then it's just going to be terrible.
But
I don't know what the logistics of it is.
I mean, when you look at the EU countries and their history with Facebook and Google and all these, I don't think they're going to buy that. I think they're going to try to get some money from Apple.
I think that they're also going to be screwed because no other phone manufacturer on planet Earth is doing that.
Or it is a problem that could be easily solved with replaceable batteries. It's that simple.
This may sound real far out there, but what if in settings there was a toggle and it was like, I would like to improve battery life on my older device, or I would like to maintain performance. That's like a one or zero state. If you could somehow have like a thing where you hit the thing and you could pick as a user between those two things.
Yeah, you need to go through at least 10 menus to get to that.
Now, but here's the thing. We've been talking about how like most people aren't that stupid. But in this case, we're talking about Apple users. Draw your own conclusions.
So what you're saying is that we could accident, like
a million phone calls like, my phone turned off. I put it in high power mode. I hit the turbo button and it turns itself off every 20 minutes.
The turbo button.
That's how it'd be labeled in the UI.
I hit the turbo button and it burst into flames and burned my house down.
That's another one, yeah.
I accidentally issued this ballistic missile alert because I was confused about the on-off toggle.
I did not include this. Did you see the thing in Hawaii?
Yeah.
Where they accidentally sent the nuke alert. Yeah. And it said, this is not a drill?
Yeah. Yeah. That was totally an accident. It was right next to the thing.
God, that was probably terrifying.
I don't know. They accidentally, it was really similar to in Connecticut, they accidentally issued a few years ago. It was a statewide evacuation order. They accidentally issued a statewide evacuation order because the code for that was right next to weekly test. It was like code 013872, 013873.
Just a little bit of peanut butter in between the keys.
Yeah, accidentally hit that. Yeah. Zombie contagion.
Randy's been eating peanut butter at the... I don't know. So this is a fun leak. There's an adult-themed virtual reality app that has let go the names and email addresses of thousands. So if you've been experimenting with that on your virtual reality device, as I know that everybody who bought a virtual reality device, it's just morbid curiosity, right?
No. You're just doing it for VR chat.
It wasn't morbid curiosity. This was Sin VR. So, yeah, if you paid with PayPal, this thing had a function. So some guys reverse engineered the software, and they found a public function, download all user data. And so they're like, wonder what that does. And it downloaded all the user data.
Oops. Probably shouldn't have put that on Amazon.
Yikes.
That wasn't payment info. It was just first, last, and email. But the VR porn,
yeah,
that's embarrassing.
Google has pulled 60 apps from the Play Store after malware exposes kids to porn. So, yeah.
Google's just losing left and right here.
At least Google is getting better about automatically searching apps. I was more impressed by the fact that they were able to... it happened in one application, and they were able to scan a whole bunch of other applications and say, oh, this is actually a rampant problem, and solve that whole class of issues across a whole bunch of apps.
So it was ads. They actually show a picture of one of them there. It's the Kim Kardashian new leaked pictures.
New, yeah.
And if you click one of those buttons, it would... load the malware, and then it would proceed to try to sell you more porn. So and the once you click, the images were pornographic. So they showed a list of the apps. One of them was like Five Nights Survival Party or something like that. So it was definitely a kids app, and they saw some porn.
That's so messed up.
We know kids are seeing porn these days, right?
That's so messed up that you can't just be a kid, though.
I'm not saying it's okay that they're doing this. Malware is never okay, but the whole us like, oh, my snowflake is going to see porn. They've seen it. Even if you lock your phone down, they're going to go to school, and one kid is going to have the parent who doesn't bother with like the iPad or the iPhone, and they're going to show them.
Why do kids need a smartphone so young? It's another debate for another time. But
or a teacher is going to go to whitehouse.com accidentally.
Or the revenge porn anonymous board and forget and leave it logged in.
As you do from time to time.
You have a wireless network in your house? Good news. New encryption is coming. The new WPA3 standard is going to do all sorts of fun things, including make open wireless networks a little bit more secure in that everybody that's connecting to the access point is going to have encryption and different encryption than everybody else, as opposed to open networks not being encrypted at all.
They also have a by-default anti-dictionary attack thing, so it's going to lock you out after so many failed attempts, which is going to be painful for those family tech support calls.
I was going to say, that's going to be bad yeah. for us, because they're just going to call us.
I tried to find more information about how they plan to lock out clients that fail the password too many times, because I'm not sure how you would do that. Like a MAC address or something? But you can spoof the MAC address.
It might just be global, which would be very annoying.
That would be interesting. I don't know. It seems really... I will withhold judgment until I get the technical details. But WPA2 can do the individual client encryption thing, but you've got to do the whole certificate-based authentication, which nobody ever does, and is often broken or doesn't work right on various client devices. So that's the one where you enter a username and a password to log into the wireless network, and I don't know. It's just not good. A new security flaw. This is different than the Spectre and Meltdown thing. This is AMD's like active management technology, like Intel AMT is what Intel calls it, but this is like on-chip management for business customers. It has a security issue. Now, we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but this is the full rundown on what the problem is and how it works and things like that. So you can compromise the system on chip and take over system access on the AMD platform.
I think it was like a certificate overflow yep. or something like that. So fairly easy to do. Now, of course, you do have to be on the network somehow
yeah.
to take advantage of it. But yeah, I think they are already working on a patch. So it's not something it's not like Meltdown Inspector. It's like, oh, we really can't even fix this except with software fixes. So
yeah. Yeah. And the good news is that I think ASRock and Gigabyte both have rolled out UEFI updates that have a disable PSP option for their motherboard. So the platform security processor, you just disable that and it's not going to be an issue.
Which, quick reminder, Intel has never offered with ME. So that's another feather in the cap of AMD on the whole security thing. It's like, oh, you don't like that? We'll just turn it off because we'll let you do that.
I will point out that the reverse engineering people on the Intel side, there is a Boolean that is like high assurance works in the intelligence sector. And if you set that to true, that does actually disable the Intel management engine, which is what System 76 and some of the other people are doing.
Also used by the Chinese government.
Are you in China? Yes. Okay. It's like the old school, because encryption was outlawed in France for a while. So like on Windows NT 3.51, you could set your region in the system control panel to be France, and it would just silently turn off all encryption for things like LAN manager passwords and login passwords and the whole nine yards. Wreaked a lot of havoc with that one. It was a lot of fun. The U.S. Supreme Court is going to revisit a ruling on collecting internet sales tax. So sales tax on the internet. I don't see that happening.
They're talking about wanting to force it for Amazon and other places like that.
Well, Amazon does it. Amazon doesn't do it for its third party sellers. Yeah. It tells them, hey, you should probably collect sales tax. But of course,
a lot of people don't.
Now the problem here is Trump hates Bezos so much that I think just out of spite he might champion this into reality. Which, of course, Newegg and what was the other company? Some of the big companies are like, no, we must not do this.
Does it give? They lose their advantage over brick and mortar stores.
Yeah, the rule right now is, if you don't know, if they have a distribution center in your state, you pay taxes. If they don't, you don't have to worry about it.
I think a lot of the brick and mortar stores have already been destroyed, at least as far as electronics vending goes.
But Amazon has warehouses.
Oh yeah,
in so many places, they're just like, fine, we'll get taxes.
Facebook is also overhauling its news feed in favor of meaningful social interactions. So they're getting rid of promoted stuff and stuff from media companies. They want people to interact with other people because apparently that leads to better health of the platform.
Basically, they want more OC. more original content.
I think what they want is people to stop talking about these recent stories about how Facebook is bad for you.
That does seem to be, that's, yeah. There's a quote from Zuckerberg. He's like, I don't want my kids to think that I did something that like didn't make the world a better place. And well, it's like, well,
I hope their IQ is below 60, because if that's not the case, then they're going to know what an asshole he was. But
is he just saying that, or is he saying that because he's going to run for president someday?
That's another.
That's a good question. That so was a quote in the article, though.
If it's between Zuck and Oprah, who's the VP and who's the president? I think Oprah takes the top position.
Yeah, I want Oprah. If I had to pick, I'd pick Oprah.
In that situation, I definitely think Zuck's the bottom.
If I think about that, much more blood's going to shoot out of my nose.
But Facebook's stock price went down considerably because, you know, the big money is from all that promoted content and stuff.
Yeah.
So. A lot of the investors and stuff were like, oh, got to unload.
Yeah.
Just come on. Yelp has been accused of hiding positive reviews for non-advertiser. This is not the first time this has come up, but this is sort of a new article that's talking about a coffee shop that, you know, sort of refused to participate. And they got into it and Yelp said, well, we got a lot of positive reviews from the same IP address. And the guy said, hey, it was people in the shop on my Wi-Fi commenting, so I don't know.
It sounds like a lot of like small town personal drama that got blown up to a much larger level. Well, this is something that should be on Topics.
There's a second guy who's also chimed in. So what they're claiming is they were getting a phone call every day from Yelp. And Yelp was like, hey, you got some really good reviews. You should subscribe. So
it'd be a shame if something happened to him.
We can maximize the visibility of these reviews. And they're like, no, I don't want to pay you. Just, you know, I'm happy with my score. And then their scores went down really far because all the 5-star reviews suddenly went into non-trusted. Like you say, they were all from the same IP address.
Huh.
So,
interesting.
Yeah.
3.5 on Yelp, 4.5 on Google, 4.6 on Facebook or whatever.
Now,
I think so, yeah.
We do have to bring up, and we talk about this every time we talk about YouTube's ad policies and Twitter. The whole, the Project Veritas have been keeping up with that, the Twitter stuff.
Yeah.
People don't seem to understand Twitter is allowed to do all that. That's their company, they do what they want, and so can Yelp. So there's really not a crime here.
Yeah,
it's just kind of a shitty thing to do. So
it
maybe
is.
You
it's
don't
a shitty
do
thing to do,
them.
But they are totally allowed to do it.
It's all about making money. Again, just you guys remember when SpaceX won the government contract to handle government payloads? Well, they were handling a payload for Northrop Grumman, but it was apparently classified. So Northrop Grumman said this is classified. It was a classified mission. We can't talk about it. But there's an article on Ars Technica that say the secretive Zuma satellite was lost. I think this is probably like a double blind. Like, I think they want everybody to think the mission was lost. But
well, but see, SpaceX has said, no, everything was fine. So I think what happened was, you know, they did the mission and everything was good. And they're like, oh, by the way, we're going to drop some fake news that this spy satellite was lost so that the counter spies will think that it was lost. And SpaceX was like, well, bro, that's our reputation here. We can't let people think that. You know, we're highly visible. A lot of people talk about us, and they're like, did you look at your contract? Because you can't talk about this. So now everybody involved is just no commenting this into oblivion.
Well, I think you guys are both missing the obvious thing that happened where Zuma was taken by aliens.
Yeah, wow, that's... I think that's the standard mission procedure. We were just giving the aliens their monthly payment.
We've apparently also given the aliens full control of all of the infrastructure here on Earth, because that whole cache leaking validation bug, they can just walk right in right now and do whatever the hell they want. It's that bad. So yeah, I don't know. It is worth noting that this is one of the reusable rockets, and the reusable part of the rocket returned to the launch pad perfectly. Like everything went perfectly with the reusable part of the rocket.
Somebody from SpaceX made the comment that the SpaceX system performed nominally and there were no failures.
Hmm.
And I think that was before he got a phone call and it was like,
hey man,
read that non-disclosure again, asshole.
Of course, there could also be another explanation, and that is Northrop Grumman said that our space satellite weighs this much and it actually weighed a lot more. And they only put enough fuel to do exactly that way.
They sent the technical specifications. It was all redacted. SpaceX was like, what?
We'll just wait on the kitchen scale over here. It's like, failed to achieve orbit. Not our problem. We didn't have an accurate weight. Another bit of interesting news that Intel kept going back to because of the whole Spectre meltdown thing was, hey, look, we've got a 49-qubit quantum computer, and it's basically good to go. and here it is.
I think it's 17.
It's too cold.
There was a...
No, oh, no. 17 was in October. Yeah. This is a new one. Okay.
Yeah, this is the 49 one. Yeah.
But isn't it like you have to keep the room so cold that it's not practical?
It's 250 degrees colder.
It's colder than space.
250 times colder than deep space.
Which is obviously attainable in most of our system, so...
I also like how they said
video coming soon.
It's going to require 1 million or more qubits to achieve commercial relevance.
Yeah, so that's and I'm no mathematician, but that's a lot more than 17 or 49.
At least three times more.
It's good to see. I mean, 49 is a lot more than 17, so more than doubling in a couple months. If you can keep that up.
Intel just keeps pushing that forward, though. Like, hey guys, look at this other cool thing we did.
I mean, how much further can we get that temperature? How much lower?
No, it's not going to. Well, at that temperature, we could probably hit like 6-7 gigahertz on commercial silicon. So if we come up with some sort of really efficient like heat pump to deal with that, then maybe. I don't think we have that technology
right
now.
Yeah, but you got
to
have that quantum keyword. It's like putting blockchain in your business name.
Cisco can now sniff out malware inside encrypted traffic. This is, I looked into this a little bit, and it seems like kind of a non-story because... They have endpoints that sniff the unencrypted traffic and then look at the encrypted traffic pattern, and then they look for the same pattern of traffic in the metadata of traffic elsewhere to find the malware inside the encrypted traffic, which seems like the malware authors could defeat like immediately.
And you have to send all of your metadata to the Cisco cloud in order for this to work. That's the important part. It's not in the hardware itself.
That's code for subscription.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but, you know, sending your data out. And does it just duplicate the data, or do you have to wait for it to come back?
No, I think it's just the metadata. I don't think it's the contents. I think it's just the packet sizes and timing and destination and source and that kind of thing.
But does it wait? So if it's potential malware, does it wait to get an answer before?
Yeah.
So that's going to slow things down.
Yeah. Maybe this is breakthrough. Maybe somebody else can explain it to us, or maybe there will be better articles on this in the future. But this doesn't seem like that groundbreaking.
Cheddar Scoops.
Yeah, the next article is brought to you by Cheddar Scoops.
I've never heard of Cheddar.com.
Why is there a picture of a...
Scoop. It's an exclusive.
I forgot the name of the website. It's Cheddar. I remember thinking, what a weird name for a news.
I don't...
Because they make sure to mention the name of themselves in the article as well.
I don't know
how they got this scoop. It's really like... It's not that much of a scoop.
They're wanting to do video chat, and they've got a product named Portal.
That's Facebook.
Facebook does.
Facebook is getting into the Alexa-style game, and
but they want it to be more social.
There was a picture here of it somewhere. It looked kind of like a Jibo.
Basically, they just want to make FaceTime, but with Facebook branding, and then ads, I'm sure.
And look at that Cheddar logo and, like, scroll at the bottom. They are really serious about getting their
name. That guy looks like he works for Cheddar.
Oh, he definitely does, yeah.
He gets those cheddar scoops. Those hot cheddar scoops.
But if you love Facebook and you love putting a camera in your bedroom that Facebook has access to, it's good news for you.
Is this co-sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts?
There's a lot of product placement here.
Yeah. I wouldn't think people with the high journalistic integrity of Cheddar.
Cheddar.com
would do such a thing. Of course, we at Level 1 would also never sell out in that way.
I wish we could get that Pepsi money. Imagine what we could do with that Pepsi money.
Take over the universe slowly but surely.
Redo the rest of The Office a second time.
We've had Mountain Dew on the channel a time or two as well.
So. Oh yeah, and Doritos. And Doritos. Yeah. We're probably gonna get,
which I think Pepsi owns now, right?
Yeah.
Frito-Lay.
Would you say that we are esports ready?
Esports ready. I love that meme. So good.
Other big news out of CES, and this one's a big one. Second-gen Ryzen and Threadripper processors are coming in 2018. Threadripper is probably going to be toward the end of 2018. Second-gen Ryzen is probably coming late March, early April of 2018, which is just right around the corner. These CPUs, it's going to be an incremental improvement, slightly changed process, slightly higher clocks, or so they tell us. There's really nothing exact here. You know, AMD driving the hype train, but they are releasing 7-nanometer Vega mobile GPUs, and the really big news is that Vega plus Intel is actually a thing.
Well, this is these we're talking about with AMD APUs,
yes,
which are actually outperforming the Intel with discrete graphics in some cases. I thought that was impressive.
Yeah.
Of course, it's their own test, but they showed Battlefield 1 on an APU that looked pretty good.
Yeah, it's the Max-Q, which is like the thin and light design for the NVIDIA GTX 1060. The Vega will outperform it, but a desktop wattage 1060 will outperform Vega. So it's kind of, if you want a thin and light laptop, apparently Intel plus Vega is the way to go.
Now, the thing that I cared about here, I don't get excited about APUs or mobile chips, but price dropping the whole line, the whole Zen line. So I think the 1800X is going to be $350.
Yep. It is now. It is right. You can buy it right now for $350, which is nuts. The 1800X is the 1800X. We very briefly had a world record on an 1800X that was overclocked to 4.1 something gigahertz. And just we got our CPU on retail day, and we built a system with it. And for like a day or two, we had a world record on
the. But the other thing about this new process is better boost.
Yeah.
So I think they get 3.8 boost now
on mobile
for some of those chips,
which is kind of nuts on mobile.
So these are being released in May, right?
Yeah.
That'll probably be for Computex.
Yeah, yeah. So I expect that Computex this year is going to be really, really interesting. Things should hit retail availability around then or a little before, so should be exciting. It's going to be an interesting year for AMD, especially with this and the whole like server side of things. I'm looking forward to Threadripper too. I'm hoping that they fix some of the virtualization issues with Threadripper around PCI pass through.
Think about how brilliant this is. You're soaring high off of this whole meltdown thing, right? Because the people who understand, the people who are buying CPUs, I think a huge percentage of them understand that AMD is not affected by meltdown. Even though every time Intel does a press conference, they drag them in there. And all of a sudden, you're just going to price drop like crazy. So I think they're probably selling a lot of CPUs right now.
If you told me at the beginning of 2017 that I could get an 8-core, 4.1 gigahertz CPU on the desktop for $350 in a year, I would have just been like, no, that's not possible.
The future is now.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. The future is now. Speaking of the future is now, you know, this is another AI-generated music album. The article here, Alex Marshall
from the BBC,
says that it's not completely trash.
If it's not from Cheddar, I don't.
We disagree.
Listen to it. Now, here's the thing. They claim it's synth pop, Euro pop.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what it means. I don't know if I've ever heard that.
You've heard Euro pop. You like Gunther?
No.
You've heard Gunther. It's like the funniest music video ever.
If this is that, this is trash. So Europop is trash?
It is.
I listened to it. This article doesn't even link to it, which is like, come on, BBC. But you can go to YouTube and Google this SkyG, or what do they call it? I can't even remember. Yeah,
that's Skig, right there.
Spotify won't let you in. And I thought it was kind of crappy. The music video was kind of interesting. It was a little ghost girl who couldn't touch things, and she like desperately wanted the fruit, but she was a ghost.
Just like the robots.
But, she kept my interest for about 10 seconds, and then I heard the music, and I was out.
Why was I made to drop a beat?
It's
all really depressing music.
It is interesting how they did this. It was similar. Remember the black metal AI? They just feed this all different kinds of music that they want to sort of sound like, and it crunches them all up and spits out little 10-second melodies, and then they find one they like, or find a couple they like, and then feed it again, and it just keeps going, and finally they're like, okay, that one works. And then they make it into a track.
Yeah, but it still needs a lot of human intervention. The woman in the article, she was talking about how, she said, like, for really classical music, it does better than a lot of her students, but for anything else that requires more of, like, a human touch, it's not very good at all.
They claim that probably what's going to happen is, as this gets better, it's going to take over the jingle commercial music type market, which what Level One Techs is Incomptech for life.
Thank you, Kevin.
We should probably, if that guy's a Patreon, we should probably drop him like a couple of bucks.
He's not. No, he's like the music of the internet. He's wrote the whole soundtrack for like every YouTube video in existence.
I met him at PingleCon last year. It seems really, really interesting guy.
did you slip him a fiver?
Take a t-shirt. Take it to some Level One t-shirts.
There you go.
Some mugs.
Decorate yourself with our garments.
In other news, have we gotten to the nonsense section yet? Because I've got a nonsensical answer. Americans are still deeply skeptical about driverless cars. Now, without reading the article, I'm going to tell you why Americans are deeply skeptical about driverless cars, and it's because most Americans have either seen or experienced, like seen at the appliance sales store or experienced at the appliance sales store, things like smart fridges, which are basically garbage. Yeah.
There was actually, after I put together the news list, I noticed the story of the Ford driverless car was in a horrible wreck. It's the whole side of it was crushed.
I was going to say, I'll be honest that I'm still a little skeptical.
Well, yeah.
On my end.
I didn't read the Ford story to see if it was its fault or not. Now, so far, almost every wreck has been the fault of human drivers when an autonomous car was involved. But, I think people, not only are they afraid of them, but I don't think anybody wants to stop driving. Most people want to drive.
I would accept not driving. I just don't trust them yet.
But one of the things this story talks about is how Congress is kind of playing fast and loose with the safety standards of driverless cars. They're kind of like letting the driverless car builders make up their own rules, and people are uncomfortable with that.
So it's not unlike Henry Ford when he was like, seatbelts, windshield wipers. We didn't get those until the 70s, didn't we?
So the secretary of whatever, the government oversight committee, made a comment in the story, and she was like, we're excited to partner with the driverless car makers. And the guy writing the story was like, partner? Yeah. You're not a partner.
Oh, I'm sure they are. You're the regulator.
I like watching those vehicle safety demonstrations because everybody is like, I think my big block, you know, 68 Chevy is really like extra mega safe because it's made out of steel and whatever. And then they show the safety videos and it just crumples like it's made out of aluminum foil.
They just fold right up.
It's compact for your convenience. Fun size.
So, yeah, driverless cars, I don't know.
Wendell, would you get a driverless car?
I absolutely would.
Oh.
Wendell hates to drive.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Wendell will often almost get in a fist fight about who has to drive because he doesn't want to.
I don't. It's just, why?
Driving's a necessary
evil. I mean, if you had a driverless car with like a 30-inch monitor, yeah, mounted where the console would be.
It's like road trip to L.A. Sounds good.
I'll be here.
Got to get that multipath TCP working so that I've got like literally every cell provider tied into one device, and so my packets can get there. I don't know. It's not good. I wanted to get the GIF. There's a GIF of a Japanese robot that makes soft serve. I think we've covered it before. But somebody made the thing of it making an ice, like a soft serve ice cream. Oh, the
perfect swirl?
Yeah.
I remember that one.
And so Jack in the Box CEO is like, oh, it makes sense to replace workers with robots. And this was literally like a box in Japan where it's like, I want an ice cream. And you put money in, and then a robot makes an ice cream and hands it to you. And it's perfect.
Well, I think he's not wrong.
That's pretty far down on the list of like good uses for robots. The perfect swirl. I mean, you could just put a glob of ice cream and basically it's the same experience.
Listen, you eat with your eyes first. So,
the Japanese are big about that, aren't they?
I think it's true. Any sort of cooking thing, yeah.
I remember thinking, that's not a lot of ice cream. And then I was like, I'm a fat American.
This is Japanese.
This ain't chocolate.
So this guy is known as not being a great guy to work for. He's sort of like the anti-worker kind of guy. But he does make a great point, which is up until this point, we haven't bothered with robots because they're very expensive. But because of the minimum wage that's being pushed in all these different places, he's like, yeah, we're definitely going to go. It makes so much more sense. From $10 an hour to $11 an hour, it makes total sense to go robot. So he's talking about getting ordering kiosks into. And they did studies. Jack in the Box in 2009 did this. Higher customer satisfaction, and more spent per ticket when you use a kiosk.
Neat.
So because you see all that stuff on the screen, and it's like, well, you know what? Maybe I should get a fry with that.
Or you don't have like that social anxiety of like, oh, God, like what do I tell them?
I can't remember what I want. I just number two. I've been there. It makes sense. Of course, it's going to be really easy to skirt the surveillance that's there. All you need is a funky sticker. So, yeah, here's a picture of a banana, and it's like, oh, that's a banana. But if you add this funky sticker, it has no idea.
The AI is more interested in the sticker than the banana. It assumes the banana's background material.
Now, here's the thing I don't think that they picked up on this article. And we look back at the Europop AI. This could be AI modern art. Look at that.
I kind of think the stickers are cool. Like, I'd put that on a backpack.
That's a good-looking sticker. So the idea is the AI, when it looks at a picture, it has to be able to figure out what's the background and what's the focal point. And when you put a sticker this complex that's built to order to be AI interesting, it will just ignore the banana. It's like, the banana is not important. I must look at the sticker.
There is no spoon.
So it's like a two-year-old then, because I think a two-year-old is like, ooh, let me just...
Shiny sticker.
It tries to scratch and sniff the sticker. But it is specific to, like, each AI has a different weakness in terms of images. So there's
some
not,
like tie-dye.
Yeah, there's not a universal sticker. But if you could figure out, like, okay, the TSA I know uses this AI, then you could buy some of these stickers, put them on a hat. You won't exist.
We need x-ray sensitive stickers to do that, so that it confuses the x-ray AI that flags devices or whatever, I guess.
You will have to cover most of your body with these stickers, so it would have to get you that's, every angle.
That's a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
I think that this is a problem that will be solved in about 10 or 15 minutes, because I think one of the reasons that human beings don't have this problem is because a lot of these objects they can pick up and have a tactile interaction with. And so when they see that thing again later, you immediately know it's a banana. But you might, I mean, if all you ever knew was pictures and you looked at a picture of a banana next to a sticker, it might be confusing for a human being as well.
I think we should raise some children in a clean room and test that theory.
But if you see, think of like, let's go with the fruit analogy. You get like a more exotic fruit, like one of those weird spiky melons, like a durian or something like that. You've seen pictures of durian. If you saw one in an Asian supermarket, you'd probably still be like, that's a durian, because I've seen pictures of that before.
Well, my counterexample to that would be all the weird taxidermy that was popular in the late 1800s, where people would just like saw together whatever local animals they could find, and people could not get enough of that.
But you've never seen a durian next to a really sweet sticker.
That's true. Yeah. I forgot about that experience at the Asian market.
You know, another announcement from CES, Kodak is getting in the blockchain gang.
That sounds awful.
Yeah. And you give Kodak money and you can get a device that is, you know, guaranteed to earn a profit at today's prices, but Kodak gets half.
Well, I don't know if it's guaranteed to get a profit. So they're trying to use the blockchain to solve the copyright images situation. So you have images that you think are valuable. You bake them into this Kodak blockchain, and forever the world knows that that was your image. If you've got some rare Pepes that you made and you think somebody else is going to repost those Pepes, you could use this blockchain to guarantee that the world knows that you created that OC.
You know, this is just in time for the new Facebook update. Make sure people know where your OC came from.
Where did that meme come from?
What it didn't go into was, can you just buy these tokens? Do you spend them to use the images? I don't know how that works exactly.
No, there's just, I don't know.
They hadn't really fleshed it out, but they did. Their stock price went up insanely after they announced. Because these days you just say the word blockchain and money just hits you out of the
the algorithms are like, yes, we must have this.
What about blockchain gang, though? Because that sounds way worse.
Well, I just meant the blockchain gang in the sense that they're joining the multitude of faceless companies like the tea company who are like, yeah, let's make blockchain part of our name and come up with some half-assed technology that's messed up and slightly weird.
When I think blockchain gang, I picture like prisoners pedaling bikes to power ASICs.
Pedaling bikes
to power ASICs. It sounds like a prison thing. That's why I was like, whoa.
Well, chain gang is a,
right,
is
yeah.
a thing.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a prison
blockchain
thing.
Cryptocurrency Kraken has gone dark and user anxiety surges. Now, this was on January 12th. It came back online on January 13th, but this just so shows you how much freak out there can be when there is cryptocurrency exchange, like when there's a this was supposedly to upgrade the engine that they use for trading currencies, but something went wrong, and instead of being down for a few hours, they were down for like what, 2 days almost?
Yeah, at least 2 days. So, as of 2 days in this article, it hadn't come back. I don't know exactly when it came back, but you think of there was Gox, there was BTCe, there was what was the other one? But there have been exchanges that went down. It was like, oh, maintenance. And everything was gone. So,
classic Randy.
Yeah, don't let the guy that huffs paint run your stuff. That's not good.
Well, I don't think it was. I think that was stolen. I think Randy, it took a little bit more knowledge than Randy had to take care of those.
Well, didn't BTCE go down because that guy was implicated in some of the Bitcoin theft from Mt. Gox?
It turned out it was all a pyramid scheme. So he was keeping most of the money.
Neat.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's not the case with Kraken.
Yeah, I think everything's back to normal with Kraken.
So. Seems like it. But I'm sure that the audience will let us know. Well, no, next week there's going to be a follow-up. It's like, correction, Kraken was replaced by...
So it seems like they did not, in fact, release the Kraken. He is still in captivity.
Kraken's been replaced by the sea snakes.
That's a really interesting mental picture. A Kraken peddling a bicycle to mine cryptocurrency.
A lot of bicycles.
Yeah, there's like all one tentacle once. Running yeah. each. Yeah, I mean, that'll be really good. We reported on cryptocurrency crackdowns in South Korea. That they have lightened up on the crackdown on cryptocurrencies in South Korea. Boy, that's a tongue twister.
That's quite the alliteration there.
Yeah, they were... I think the problem, as they explain it, is we're terrified of the... Because South Koreans are way into cryptocurrency. And they did some kind of survey. I think like 75% of people had traded... at so many million, whatever they trade in, which is like $5,000. So they're terrified that that market is going to crash and it's going to destroy the economy. So they tried to get in front of it, which almost caused the market to crash.
They were too late.
Unintended consequences of government.
The more you tighten your grip, the more cryptocurrencies will slip through your fingers.
So they've walked that back a little, but I think that probably won't be the end of it. They might try to more slowly... get their hands on that thing.
Slowly take out one bank account at a time. That's their strategy here in America. It's like your bank is like, oh, you do stuff with cryptocurrency? Yeah, we need to have a conversation about that. We're going to put your account on freeze. Until
that's the conversation.
Yeah. They don't have a conversation. They don't tell you. They won't tell you why. It's just, your money is, you can't get your money anymore.
Speaking of people having trouble getting their money, the Miami Bitcoin Conference has stopped accepting Bitcoin because of the high transaction fees and congestion on the blockchain to get people to... If you wanted to go, you could pay your dues for this conference in Bitcoin. Well, not anymore.
Yeah, it makes total sense because we're looking at still like between $20 and $60 per transaction.
Seems like a lot.
What is Bitcoin at now? Did we check today?
It's like 14, I think.
Yeah.
But you were talking about earlier, we didn't put this story in, but what was the restaurant?
KFC.
KFC. So... you're talking about a minimum transaction of $20 on top. Nothing at KFC is like you'd have to get
a super bucket.
The big bucket is what, like $25?
Yeah. You know, like when you get married, that's when you buy the big bucket.
Well, you can eat all week on that.
Fancy. And so you're looking at doubling the price of the big bucket to pay with Bitcoin. It just doesn't make any sense.
But KFC can say they accept Bitcoin because.
Because that probably makes the stock price go up, right?
Yeah.
They have to use the word blockchain, not Bitcoin.
I really like that KFC's Twitter account, like the brilliance of this is just amazing. The only people that KFC follows are the Spice Girls and six guys named Herb. It's 11 herbs and spices.
The fast food Twitter, like it seems like with the Wendy's one was so good. They've all tried to get on that train.
Yeah. They're all trying to be
relatable.
We have to
have a really clever... I don't think anybody's been able to reproduce the magic. Denny's is pretty good. You ever see the Denny's one?
Denny's, yeah. You've got to be a little bit mean-spirited. And I think that these companies are a little afraid to go full mean-spirited, so they just try to be funny.
It was so good, though, with Wendy's.
Yeah. There's a line, and Wendy's is just on this side of the line, and Denny's is just on the other side of the line in terms of mean-spirited.
But I think that makes it a little funnier when it's a little bit mean.
It's more McDonald's. I'm sure because they're the big one, but they need to go ahead and cross over to the dark side. They need to get their Twitter really busting people's balls.
Last week or a couple of weeks ago, I think we covered that Steam also stopped accepting Bitcoin, citing volatility. Microsoft has also followed suit. They were taking Bitcoin, now they are not because it is an unstable currency, mainly because of transaction fees and that sort of thing.
There's also a prepaid credit card company that would let you fund with Bitcoin, no more. Because again, when you think about what you use your prepaid credit card for, it's rarely more than like $20 to $50. And you're adding $20 to $50 every time. Yeah. You can't
not
do
worth it.
Wasn't Bitcoin Cash supposed to fix this?
I think they might have, but then again, they're probably not moving the same transaction numbers that regular Bitcoin is at this point. So, I mean, Bitcoin Cash is basically what Bitcoin should be, right? I probably pissed off a lot of people saying that. The new version of Bitcoin cannot keep up with its own success.
Bitcoin Cash is trash. That's just going to be 70 comments with that. It's not good. Snapchat has done a redesign, and 83% of the users don't like it because people do not like
change. They don't like change. This is true of almost any UI update that you make on almost anything. Unless your original was just absolutely terrible, people will always be angry when you change it. Look at Facebook, look at Instagram, look at any of them. They're always angry about it. I don't use Snapchat, so I can't really say one way or the other. I don't think neither of you are big Snapchat fans either.
I like taking snaps all day.
It's selfies. My younger cousins are all into Snapchat, and it's selfies.
I don't even really understand what Snapchat is, to be honest with you. That's how old and grumpy that I am.
And that's why you're watching the Level 1 news.
But here's the thing. Here's the counter argument for the Snapchat thing. So Snapchat has, and I don't know the gimmicky names. It's like the when you go to Starbucks and they don't let you say large.
Oh,
it's like, just
mad.
Fuck you. I just drive off. And so they had a thing that was really popular with users, but that wasn't the thing they could put ads on. And they had another thing that they could put ads on that no one cared about. So part of the redesign mixes the thing with ads into the other thing that the users like.
Yeah.
So it seems like maybe it's not just bad design, but maybe there's some...
Well, there's monetary... People won't stop using it, though. Like, they'll just whine about it. And then there's probably dozens of people who are probably fine with it, but they're not outraged about it, so they don't post reviews.
Hey, Twitter, yeah. I've got some... Hey, Snapchat, I got some news for you. The people at Twitter never figured out how to monetize that either. They turned out okay.
Yeah, that's... I mean, we definitely have seen that in terms of, like, most of the people who comment on YouTube. Now, we do get some nice comments. We actually get a lot of nice comments, but...
Higher ratio than most channels.
It's more likely that the people who are going to comment are going to comment because they want to complain about the audio or they want to give us a correction they'll just want to just piss on you for some
reason.
You
think this is a good build?
We just did a Q&A. That'll be out soon.
Here's five paragraphs of a hardware list. Can you tell me what my best build should be?
Put that stuff on the forums. Forums.level1text.com.
In what is surely one of the horsemen of the apocalypse, a company has invented an ingestible pill that will track fart development in real time on your phone.
This isn't new technology. They've had this in the medical field for a long time, but usually it's something that's confined to hospitals. But now you can do this from the safety and comfort of your own couch, you know?
Well, are these available for commercial? I don't think they are yet. But also, those ones you're talking about were cameras.
Yes. They were there to chat track your GI.
This is a full-spectrum fart monitor. Like, it looks at gases, it looks at pressure, it does have a camera. Now, I think you're overlooking the possibilities here. So, like, you know, you get a call and it's like, hey, are you good to meet at 3:30? And you pop open your fart app and you're like, I got something to do at 3:30. Let's make it 4.
How cool would it be if it could warn you ahead of time? It's like, you got a 5-minute warning. It's like, oh, I got 5 minutes to find the bathroom.
If you look at those charts, it kind of does. Because I think the
you'll
level,
be prairie dogging if you take
find,
that.
Find the chart.
3:30.
Because I think if you see, you can look at the past because it shows you when the pressure drops, that means you farted.
The beat drops.
So you can kind of guess. It's like, when I hit this peak, I got something's got to give. So I'm not going to be doing anything during that time. That's going to be some me time.
So how long before our robot overlords are, like, forcing one of these into my mouth and, like, rubbing my neck to make me swallow?
They hold your jaw shut. What they do. That's what you do to a dog.
How long until the FBI has backdoor encryption to know when you farted?
It's important news. I would love to see how often this happens when you sleep, because they say that you fart more in your sleep. I bet the chart is just... all night long.
Can you imagine, like, who is the hottest young Hollywood starlet right now? Just insert Taylor Swift. Can you imagine if Taylor Swift's fart data was leaked
only for the hottest?
I mean, how embarrassing! It was
What if someone made a remix of her songs based on her fart data?
Because you know, if they have access to the nudes, they can get access to the fart data, right? And just like, yes, we have scientific proof. Taylor Swift farts 32 times per night.
There's going to be some guy in a black trench coat and a black cowboy hat who is like, okay, we've got all the pressure and sensor data from this fart. We've reconstructed the sound according to the acoustics of the room that Taylor Swift was in. Let's all listen to the performance.
Oh, wow. That's going to be a dark future.
We've hit a new low on the show.
Speaking of things from the dark future, another thing that was really popular at CES this year was the robot strippers with cameras for heads.
They look really disturbing. I don't think that looks sexy at all. I mean, you guys comment. You're men.
No.
You can tell me.
No, there's nothing. No. I mean, they have, you know, breasts, I suppose, is the best you can say about the, in terms of them being sexy.
There's mammary devices now, on the front.
They, big checkbox in the dystopian future box, though.
And that, these were actually built to be an art piece that sort of, you know,
look at speaks. The butt.
Oh, yeah. She doesn't exactly have junk in the trunk. Wow. But this was supposed to speak against, like, you know, this dystopian sex robot future. But they turned out to be wildly popular for businesses and, you know, parties and stuff. So
businesses.
This guy, now he just rents wow. them out. So it's like, oh, yeah, this is not an art piece anymore. I'm
going to
rent
these out.
What
kind of horrible company Christmas party are you going to? You know what? Last year's wasn't raunchy enough. We need to bring in the robot strippers.
I was thinking about, like, the lobby. It's like, wow, we've really landed in a classy place. There's a robot stripper in the lobby.
But if you look at the video, and if you go to this link, you can watch the video. They don't have a lot of range of motion. Like, their stripping is not really all that
It's great. More gyrating.
Yeah.
More like an art piece.
But they are terrifying, aren't they?
The surveillance camera head is quite
that seems like
off-putting.
They were having, like, problems with the Uncanny Valley, and we're like, this is not attractive. Let's turn
let's
this...
Let's just go all the way.
Yeah, let's make this into an art piece. And then it was like, okay, 70s style, you know, CCTV camera, whatever.
As an art piece, I think they work great. They're very interesting to look at.
You know what else could be popular is if you could just pop that head off, and they had a variety of celebrity heads you could put on. Like, you could do, like, a Hillary Clinton.
Like a Barbie yeah. doll where you, like, mix their right. heads and bodies up.
Like, there's, like, so we've got the takedown notices for the boxes that run things like Cody. How long before we have takedown notices to the robot companies? Because it's like, hey, you're downloading a 3D printable Taylor Swift head for your own robot. We have nothing to do with that.
Well, that's, you don't call it Taylor Swift, you know.
Swaler Tiff.
You call it like T-Quick or T-Fast or something like that.
Did you see the, we didn't, I don't know if we pointed this out, but like the tip jars as well?
Yeah, need dollars for batteries.
The other one is something about, like, MIT bound.
Oh, I don't.
Oh, look, they're wearing little high heels. I didn't know.
Look.
Oh, and they have garter belts.
Are people paying the robots?
Yeah, people are paying.
You guys
the robots.
Got conned. You got dunked on.
No, this guy's brilliant. It's like if my job was to just haul the stripper robots around for a couple of years and then I could retire, that'd probably be okay.
Do you think the robot strippers have to split tips with the regular strippers?
Because
I think that's communist.
Yeah, that doesn't seem fair to the real people, I guess. Because how are you going to compete against a robot?
How are you going? They're coming for our jobs, and they'll stay young forever.
This story is kind of related. Also, there's a story here about redefining sexual consent with blockchain. So the idea is that you can avoid a Harvey Weinstein or
A
Bill Cosby.
Possibly false or accusation.
Insert any male celebrity here.
Type situation by, you know, entering in, like, you, I guess you exchange private keys before you exchange
keys. It's similar to a dating app where you, like, you
check off,
you friend
literally.
Each other, and it is literally a swipe. You swipe right to bang, basically.
It's like, yes, I give my consent to this, this, and this. And then you, like, you do, like, a little check, like a buffet.
I don't know if they do check boxes, do they? Like,
that's the way it sounded when I read the
article.
That's
hilarious.
I couldn't figure out if there was a way to withdraw consent. They didn't seem to talk about that.
No, that's something
that was
they,
the criticism, was that, and what if you get, like, decide about halfway through, you know, I'm not really interested anymore, you know, maybe I'm going to get up and leave.
I had no idea you were a robot.
Do you think they would give you a little text box for, like, inner reason for withdrawing consent?
And you're, like, trying to type. I mean, it does seem kind of absolutely silly.
Yeah, it's silly. And in this, so this article was, Gizmodo is very SJW, very feminist in terms of, like, they almost borderline call this rape because it is consent. And it's in the blockchain. So the idea is, no matter what happens, there's a record. And I guess, you know, you could at least in a court, you could be like, listen, I did everything that I could.
Yeah.
And
up to and including blockchain technology.
Yeah. But then they're saying that.
And the judge is like, ooh.
That's wrong because then that's forever. And consent is not forever.
It is. So consent is ongoing. I agree with that. But it seems like it's not really solving the problem. Like, it's a problem, but it's not really solving it.
So what you're saying is it needs a dead man's switch.
Well, but you
have to keep the button held down on your phone as long as consent exists.
In a moment of ecstasy, what if you let go of that button?
Consent's withdrawn.
It's too late. Yeah, this is a
30-second grace period? I don't know.
A terrible solution for a terrible problem. And I don't know if we're going to solve this with technology.
No. No, this is...
Maybe don't bang strangers on the internet as a start. I don't want to police anybody, but maybe that's a bad idea.
You just lost a lot of the audience.
You know what else is coming back from the dead? Circuit City. Circuit City is apparently coming back as a website on February 15th. Remember Circuit City? They were competitors to Best Buy. They zigged when they should have zagged, and they went out of business.
I was surprised that Circuit City still... Did anyone check the domain? Is there like a cool under construction GIF on CircuitCity.com?
I don't think it's ready yet.
Yeah, but if you're going with the whole trend, you do the under construction.
I remember reading a case study of like Circuit City versus Best Buy. Like, what happened? Why did Best Buy win? And it turns out Best Buy, if you've ever been to a Best Buy, I assume it's still like this. I haven't been in a long time. A lot of the shelves are half height. You notice that?
Yeah.
So you can see most of the store. And it's very well lit and they have skylights. So they figured out that people liked wide aisles. So you can see the whole store.
It's easy to find what you're looking for
it's
there.
It's easy to find things. Circuit City went the exact opposite. They lowered lighting and they built these cavernous shelves that like you're just wandering around in no man's land.
Yeah, it was supposed to be cozy and nobody wanted to go in there.
Well, I imagine, especially for people who are going to someplace like Best Buy or Circuit City, is that there's kind of this fear of like, I don't necessarily know what I'm looking for, so I want to be able to see as much as possible to see if I can find the thing I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And it's completely counterintuitive.
Circuit City did not do that. I remember the one here actually had like a little cave for the car audio. Like you literally had to go in this other, even darker room.
Were there car stereo bears there?
Well,
in the car stereo cave.
I don't know what was in there.
You couldn't see the shittiness of the product because it was so dark.
Maybe. But yeah, that didn't work. So now they're going to be online only. They claim they're going to do like AI recommendations for products and live chat. And honestly,
this just sounds like any website. Yeah.
But does anybody use the live chat? I use the live chat maybe if I need to return something.
I wonder how Best Buy is doing with the whole, we'll send somebody to your house to sell stuff to you.
That's the thing that they do.
Yeah, it's old ladies and serial murderers.
Old ladies are like, I'm very lonely. I'm going to call the Best Buy.
They do that. That's a thing.
She's going to get you, like, help her carry stuff, fix things around the house.
I can't get this $100 TV on my fixed income.
My toilet just runs and runs.
Oh, speaking of problems with AI, I don't know. We got to be really careful about how we tackle this story from Wired.
Which explains why Google has so far been unable to deal with this issue.
When it comes to gorillas, Google Photos remains blind because it will tag gorilla photos as photos of black men.
Well, it's the opposite.
Either way,
yeah.
Not great.
So
definitely some racist connotations there.
So there, obviously, you can't have. If you're Google, there is no way you can let this stand. You have to just nuke this from orbit. And that's what they did. Searching for pictures of gorillas or getting gorillas to be recognized with any of their AIs, it just doesn't happen. Gorillas don't exist as far as Google is
concerned.
That's
so interesting because all these photos show the gorillas in like really green environments. They're also like, they're fuzzy. I would think that, I mean, maybe AI is just not advanced enough, but
AI is definitely not advanced,
enough.
I don't think,
but they can drive our cars.
I don't think a picture like that would trigger it. I think it would have to be a picture
maybe that's just straight on,
probably a lot darker.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so but again, you can't take any risk of that. So their way of dealing with it is
just to not deal with it.
Gorillas don't exist.
They might not without your money.
Can you imagine a world where like, okay, Google does this and Google becomes more and more powerful to where they're literally like the entire internet. I mean, you can totally see that happening. And then the bombs drop and hundreds of years later, anthropologists they don't know there were ever grills.
Because no Google, one will ever know.
Like, they no dig record. Up the Google data center and they're like, look at this treasure trove. We'll know everything about them. And gorillas are just lost in time.
But you know what else is going to be in that database? Laser bats.
Man, I love the idea of laser bats.
Didn't a laser bat, like we had a prototype here, I think it got loose in your apartment.
I had a bat in my apartment once. I woke up at 4 a.m. and he was flying around. Little flitter mouse in my house. Yeah. It was not great.
Laser-powered, this is of course a government project. The government is looking into laser-powered bat drones.
Well, it's a competition, so you can actually get grant money if you show them a good design for a laser bat.
Wendell, this could be your thing.
This is not the first time that the Department of Defense has funded a project, but it is the first time that, since the cat incident of the 1960s where they...
Well, those weren't robots.
They produced a cybernetic cat.
Those were just horribly mangled cats. So the idea here is they want to get away from the drone that uses propellers. Because it's more natural to the bat uses less energy comparatively to fly more efficiently, but you can't carry a battery big enough to do this kind of flying, the flapping of the wings. So they're planning on powering it from either aircraft or towers by broadcasting laser power to it.
Echolocation.
Now I've played SimCity well into the future. And let me tell you, the energy beam power thing is not a good idea. It leads to disaster.
Well, I wonder, I don't know what kind of frequency those lasers would be. I imagine they'd be pretty hot. But you remember how when we did the solar array boiling water power system, the birds would fly through the lasers and burst into flame. So,
rip in peace.
I think there's a video of that I found on YouTube the other day, and they literally just exploded a puff of feathers.
They call them streamers because there's just like a puff,
no.
And there's a stream of smoke that just hurtles to the ground. Now, you got to think that where the laser bats would be operating would probably be high wildlife areas, right? So, yeah.
Do you think the other bats would fall in love with the laser bats? I would read that fanfic.
I wonder if the prototypes for this went wrong, and that's what happened to those people in Cuba. It was like, oh, we've got brain cancer and all these things, and it was audio, but it was actually the energy from the laser bat power system.
Or maybe it was the sonic attack of the laser bat, because obviously the laser bat would use sonic weapons, right?
Makes sense.
The bat.
That's how that...
Echolocation.
Yeah. I mean, every video game bat uses a sonic attack, right?
Now I have the Spider-Man theme playing in my head, but it's Sonic Bat, Sonic Bat. It does whatever a sonic bat can. I don't know. That's it. You've wasted another hour and a half.
Hour and a half, long time.
This might be a record. I don't know.
It might be. I don't think there's a whole lot to cut this week.
I don't remember what the record was. It might be.
CES was filled with so much crap.
It was a heavy news week. And I feel like last week, everybody was knee-deep in Meltdown Spectre.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of stories backed up. So this week we got a real high count.
This is definitely a sleep deprived episode as well, just because deploying all those patches everywhere has been. And then the patches didn't work on older hardware. Is like that hardware has been really unreliable since. So it's just. It's terrible. It's a terrible week. Can't wait until next week. Maybe next week will be better.
I keep saying that.
Yeah, based on past performance, I'm going to say that's probably not the case.
Rip in peace.
Oh, we'll see you next time, everybody.
Bye.